Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Raya Lasani podcast. I'm your host, Eduardo Rosso, and joining me as always is Patrick Meehan. Pat, it's going to be repetitive again. Monterrey is coming off another bad week. It started off with a really poor breakdown or meltdown, I should say, against Juarez in the last, 4 or 5 minutes of that first leg of the Copa Mekis, where they surrendered 2 goals while they were up a man. And then they followed it up by coughing up a 2-0 lead to San Luis in a 2-2 draw against San Luis. So let's just start with the Copa Mekis. I'm not sure how much you were able to watch of it. I'm pretty sure you saw the meltdown. The first goal, I don't have any like issues with it. It happens. You know, Juarez scored off a set piece. But the second goal that they scored, I was kind of... It annoyed me because that's beating yourself. If I'm pretty sure people have seen it by now, it was Cesar Montes and I think it was Edson Gutierrez were kind of lazy with the ball, and it allowed for I'm not sure who was it on the Juarez team to event, you know, just take the ball away and turn it into a scoring chance, and boom, 2-0, and now they'll try to have to score 2 goals or 3 or more against Juarez on Wednesday as they look to try to salvage this tournament, because the only good thing about this tournament right now is they're on the verge of being a Copa Mekis final. But yeah, just overall, give me, you know, just the opinion that you had in that game against Juarez. Anything that you're able to see, yeah, just take it away, because I know it's been a rough week, and that's where everything started off, and then we'll transition over to the San Luis game.
Yeah. So yeah, I saw the Juarez game. You know, at first I thought what everybody was thinking, you know, we should definitely take this game, go back home, and, you know, have an easy second leg to go to the final. Didn't go as planned. A lot of the players didn't play well. And then when Juarez gets a red card, you just think, okay, we'll finally do this. And when that first goal came for Juarez, I just decided to not watch the end of it. I thought that was going to be it. And they end up scoring another one. So, yeah, it was just a disaster class from Monterrey in the Juarez match. The little bit of hope that we had, you know, just get smaller after that defeat.
Yeah, no, everybody was like, okay, well, this tournament is pretty much going up in flames. At least we have the Copa. That's the saving grace. That's the only thing we have left that can at least put some type of smile on our faces. But right now, it's not looking good. Especially if Juarez gets one goal, Monterrey will have to do something that they haven't done all season against the first league or first division team, and that is score more than 2 goals. So we'll see what happens there. But I know I saw some of the you know, people predicting the lineups against Juarez. I guess I'll ask you, what do you have a particular lineup that you want to see, and what do you think happens on Wednesday?
Well, I've seen a lot of people saying that maybe, you know, because obviously the Liga MX lineup, I think, has been like the, if you should even call it this, you know, has been the like the actual starting 11, or like the best starting 11. And then the Copa MX obviously has a lot of rotation, but that includes Jansen. So I've seen a lot of lineups having, you know, obviously them both in there because you need goals. I do wish that Turco remains with the majority of the people that he's been playing in the Copa MX. But I get it that you have to put your best 11 out there just because it's now or never for Copa MX. And I wouldn't mind if he you know, changes it to like that. The changes the starting 11 to the one we've seen in Liga MX. But I do think we need as much attacking power as we can. I mean, if they score, let's just score one more and then one more, and hopefully, you know, because we need goals. That's you see as that.
And the goals haven't been coming in as frequent as we'd like, especially with the type of names we have on offense. Same thing happened against Juarez. There were a lot of missed chances, a lot of bounces that didn't go our way. But I mean, at this point, it's kind of become a never-ending story. They'll create chances, but the ball doesn't, you know, find the back of the net. And I think at this point, I'm just tired of just hearing, oh, we're just unlucky, or no tenemos el suerte de campeón, or whatever they're saying on the post game interviews and all that stuff. But what do you think, Pat? Do you think they somehow find a way to get past Juarez, or do you think we have to brace ourselves for another letdown?
No, I don't think they'll get past Juarez. I don't think so. It's just because of what they've shown us this season. The times where we have to, you know, believe, or the times where we have to score and do well, we just haven't shown it at all. So I don't see them doing it now all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. As much as I, you know, the fan in me is saying maybe they can pull it out finally. I know this is, because this is really, it is the last saving grace that they have for this tournament. There's nothing else. Like, it's, the season's up in flames, and we have nothing else to look forward to. So this would be it. And obviously, the Copa MX would be at home, or the final, I should say, would be at home. So if they crash out here, it's just going to be ugly media, ugly tweets, and it's just going to get nasty if they don't find a way to overcome this 2-0 deficit. But when I look at how they've played in terms of, you know, not taking advantage of all the scoring chances, it's you know, the logical sense is that they're not going to be able to do it, because they just haven't shown that when they really need a win, and they've really needed a win these last 3 weeks, they just haven't been able to get up. And at this point, it's just, you know, it's no longer a trend. It's this is what they are. They're just a team that's just for some reason not very good. And it's just, as much as I don't like to say it, I think they'll be able to score two goals, but I think Juarez will probably get one, maybe a 2-1 win. And even then, I'm being like optimistic on that, just because Juarez has been really, really good all tournament long and all Copa MX long, and they're like the, you know, surprise team of the tournament. So we'll see there. We'll see what happens there. But let's transition over to, you know, the main game of the week, which is the San Luis game. And if you were very optimistic, you still thought this team could turn it around, even on the broadcast, not to jump too far ahead, but when Monterrey was up 2-0, you heard, I think it was John Laguna, he was even mentioning that, you know what, if they can pull out a win here, maybe they can, you know, they got Chivas next week. Chivas were at the time in that eighth spot, and you know, if they can get a win on the road, maybe they can start thinking, maybe they can get out of this situation. But it didn't happen. Let's break down the game first. I know you didn't get to see most of it, so just give me your overall impression, or not impression, but your reaction when you saw that Aquiloba was the first, you know, he scored his first goal, I think, if I'm not mistaken, with Monterrey. But yeah, overall, just what did you make when I didn't even think he was, because to start, he wasn't playing all that well. He did miss Miguel Layún with the pass that Miguel Layún was pretty much open. And all he needed to do was just, you know, try to get him the ball, but it was too late. San Luis was able to take away that scoring chance. But yeah, he redeemed himself. He was able to get the first goal. It was a pretty good goal, off of a header assist from Funes Mori. But yeah, what was your reaction when you saw Aquiloba being the first person to score against San Luis?
I loved it. I wanted, that's something that we needed. We need from him, you know, goals. and he delivered it. It's good to have that off your back, the first one. So, you know, he can gain confidence and all that good stuff. But, I mean, it sucks for him that goal made it, you know, it's not that important just because of the end result.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you need to start somewhere. So,
yeah, he needs to gain the confidence. Gain the confidence. And I was going to ask you, just to draw it back to the game against Juarez in the second leg, do you think they should start him? Just for him to try to gain more confidence and hopefully this play can carry over to the Juarez, because right now he's been the only striker to score in the last couple of weeks. Everybody's been cold in the goal scoring department.
Yeah, I mean, I think he should start, and just because of that, of what you mentioned, you know, we need people to get into. Or people that are high in confidence, this obviously to do like a little remontada in this sense, and get a great result. You need people that are playing with confidence and that are capable, and that they believe in what they're about to do. So yeah, I'm obviously down for that. I would definitely play Akilova, even in front of if you need to take out a striker, whether it's Funes Mori or Jansen, I wouldn't mind it at all, just because of that, because Akilo actually scored.
Yeah, well, good thing you brought that up, because against San Luis, Funes Mori picked up a yellow card, arguing Daniel Barra's red card. Him and Nico Sanchez were given yellows for the red straight red that Barra got, that I thought was a little, I didn't think it was a red, I thought it was a yellow. But obviously the ref thought otherwise, and you know, what can you do? But as a result of Funes Mori picking up a yellow card, he's now going to be, you know, suspended for the game against Chivas because of yellow card accumulation. So he's going to be sitting down, and I'm not sure if Turco's going to go with the double striker still with no Funes Mori, or is he going to go solo? If he's going to go still with the double striker against Chivas, I would maybe try Akilova and Vincent Janssen maybe at some point in the game against Juarez, because if he's going to go with the double striker against Chivas on Saturday, then you got to see if these guys can click together, and if not, then you got to adjust your tactics. But what do you think, Pat? Should he go just as a result of that? Do you think, I know I'm getting a little too far ahead of just previewing that match against Chivas, but do you think, first, are you curious to see how Loba and Jansen play together, or do you think you would rather just see, you know, one striker at the top?
No, I am curious, and I do want to see that. That would be fun to watch. Especially now when we're pretty much done or eliminated, so it's the time for this. Switch it up and see what works. Maybe you'll find something like incredibly cool or good for the team, and you know, you can start getting that some minutes. But yeah, we'd like to see that for sure.
Because I thought Funes Mori and Loba were pretty good together. Like obviously the first goal, you had Funes Mori, you know, pretty much had the ball to Loba, and Loba dribbled it, you know, for a goal. And so it was, I think they were good together. They weren't, again, Loba started off a little shaky, but once he got into the rhythm of things, he was able to score a goal. I know, I think he had another scoring chance, but yeah, we'll see what Turco wants to do. I mean, at this point, you got to put all your chips at the table, because like I said, if they crash out against Juarez on Wednesday, then it's going to be a long couple of weeks before we get to the end of the season. So, you know, try to salvage what you can salvage. But against San Luis, there were more scoring chances. I thought one of the key players, and I think I wanted to bring this up with you and just get your thoughts on him. What's your overall opinion on Miguel Layún, who's probably been the second most consistent player, And then I want to bring up a tweet regarding that that I just want to open up a discussion about. But just overall, what did you make of Layun, and what do you make of Layun's season so far, which has been his best? I think he's been at his best form, and I think we talked about it last week too. But he's continually be one of the more consistent players. And then on Saturday, I should say, he was one of the few. I think he was the only player to try to talk with the media or on the field. And then I think I'm not sure if he was being heckled by a fan or whatever. But still, he still tried to have some type of communication, and he was being praised by like John Laguna. He tweeted out commending him for that. But what do you make of Miguel Layun? I know you probably saw those videos circulating through Twitter, but what are your thoughts on Miguel Layun? Again,
The off the field stuff about Layun, or about, how he handles media, how he handles hate, all of that we've known. Layun is a great guy off the field. We've always loved that. And what's always been criticized of him is that exactly, on the field where he hasn't really performed. And now when we see the whole team down, we see a guy that's been consistent, that's been good, that's been working hard, and that all obviously always will get the applause. If you sum what he does off the field, which I think is great. I saw him, talking. I heard him. I also saw that the video with the fan. It's great to have people like that. I love it. And I believe in what he says when he says that they're working hard and all that. But it's good that Miguel has this moment with Rayados fans, because he hasn't really had the best of times, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's good for him, and I'm glad for him, because I probably, if you asked him before all this, before he's been getting all the applause, how his time has been in Monterrey, probably he wouldn't be like super enjoying it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think now he definitely turned it around. He earned his respect on and off the field, yeah, which the off part he's always had, and now it's good for him, because if he stays a couple of years more with us, he can definitely be one of those guys that can be captain, because, he has that capability, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like I tweeted out, the best thing that's ever happened to him is, he's now officially more of a wide midfielder or a wingback, whatever formation that he wants to use. If it's three at the back, then he's a wingback. Or if it's a back line of four, then he'll be out wide in the midfield. He doesn't have to worry too much about his the defense. Obviously, he still has defensive responsibilities, but there's someone behind him if he commits a defensive mistake, and the most of the time he can focus on just trying to create chances, which he's done. He's been like I said, arguably the second best player. But like our friend Jess tweeted out the other day, it kind of speaks to the season that Monterrey are having when Miguel Layun is your second best player. And it's not a shot at him. It's just, there's just so much money invested in this team. It would be a nice story if Rayados were doing well and Miguel Layun was having his best tournament that he's been, since he's been here. But he shouldn't be your second best player. I'm not sure if you agree with that, Pat, or what's your take on that?
No, for sure. It would be best for him if we were actually being good. But yeah, like since when we were good, he was never in the top. So it sucks for him, but it also speaks on that when a player that hasn't been good with these players, with this team, whenever they're doing bad, he's the best. It's just weird. Maybe he's been consistently average, and now that everybody's bad, he's still average, but he's just better than the rest.
Yeah, that's one way you see. I never thought about that, but we'll see. But yeah, back to the game. Monterrey was able to make it 2-0, and then at this point, I thought, okay, maybe they can pull out a win. I think it was around the 60th minute marks. That Jesus Gallardo pretty much came unmarked. I don't think the San Luis player, at least from what I remember on the replay, he didn't or he didn't like prioritize Gallardo. He was just more looking for a bounce to just try and clear the ball. But off a corner kick set piece, Gallardo comes in pretty much unmarked, heads the ball in, and Monterrey is up 2-0. And at this point, everybody was happy. Everybody was like, okay, you know what? I think we finally get the win, get the 3 points. And like I said, that's where the Fox Deportes, more in particular, John Laguna, he was talking about maybe they can, you know, maybe this is what they needed. Maybe this is they can get out of it. I know it's a small chance, but you never know. Soccer is one of those sports that sometimes things can happen. But like I said, soccer is one of those things where things can happen, but ended up biting Monterrey or at least coming back to haunt them as for some reason Juan Luis was able to score two unanswered goals and they were down a man. And yeah. So, we were down a man, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, Monterrey made it 2-0 while playing with 10 men. And it looked like despite playing with 10 men, Monterrey was in control of the game. And then I think it's not the substitution that's the mistake, or kind of is, but the message that it was sending, which was, I think, around the, I'm not sure what minute mark it was. I don't have the number in front of me, but Aquiloba comes off for Celso, Aquiloba comes off and Celso Ortiz comes in, and it kind of sent a message that, okay, we're going to try to focus more on defense and try to hold on to this 2-0 lead. And I think that the substitution wasn't wrong. It's just that they took off Aquiloba, who, like I said, it sends a message where we're going to try to protect our lead. And then after that, I honestly didn't see or hear much of Funes Mori. San Luis kept him in check. And, you know, you only have one pretty much attacker. And I know Charlie Rodriguez is in there too, but it pretty much took away Funes Mori. And they finally, or in San Luis, was finally able to take advantage of having that extra man. And they were able to score two unanswered goals to eventually tie the game. And it was in a span of, you know, minutes. It didn't take that long for San Luis to just to pull out, you know, to get the draw. What did you make of when you saw the highlights? What did you make of Monterrey kind of folding and giving up those two goals?
Yeah, it was weird at first when I saw them up two goals. You know, I couldn't follow it live, the game, so I had to follow it through Twitter plus notifications. It was just weird. So I went into Twitter, check out the goals, see how they came about. So that Clover goal, so the Gallardo goal, I was surprised that they were 2-0 up. I mean, I get it if you're the best team in the league and you're killing it and you're having the best, you know, whether you're 10 men down or 9 men down, you're still, if you're still good. But this team, to be up 2-0 with a man down, it was just weird. So obviously at the end, when they tied, it was like, of course. And then Mohamed has that where he announces it pretty loud and clear that he's heading back to cover the lead. I remember we used to suffer it a lot back in his old time in Monterrey. And he announces it loud and clear. And of course, you know, down 10 men, the other team is attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking. You're just holding and hoping they don't score. At some point, they are, and they did. I get it. It's difficult.
What did you go through when you saw the notification where it said 2-2 draw, or, you know, 2-2 tie now?
I kind of went like, of course. I was like, yeah. I mean, yeah, we were not gonna win. Just this season is like this. So yeah, it was pretty much that.
Yeah, I kind of led myself to believe, okay, maybe they can do it. But I kind of was brought back to reality once San Luis made it 2-2. And I'm not sure if it was the first goal or second goal, but I know a lot of people were tweeting you know, there's this one picture where it has everybody's reaction. I think it's probably the second goal, but yeah, it was kind of a backbreaker. It was kind of a shot to the gut. Pretty much just puts the final nail in the coffin. This team's not going to get up. And, you know, like I said, there's no Liguilla. As much as you want to be optimistic, but it's just, it's not going to happen. It's just, you're asking for a team to do something that, you know, no other Mexican clubs have been able to do. So, you know, everybody needs to come back down to reality. I still support this team. I'll continue to watch. But, yeah, it's just, you know, we'll just get through this tournament and hopefully people can do their jobs right and help improve this team over the summer. But we'll save that for later down the road. But, Pat, I've kind of tweeted out and I kind of been I've been through this before, but when a team strikes to make it 2-1, when, you know, you're down a man and you're trying to hold on for, because you really need this win. Do you think the captain should have some type of responsibility? I know a lot of people were blaming Turco for that substitution, whatever. But I go back to, the captain is supposed to, you know, regroup everyone and tell them, okay, yeah, we gave up one, but let's not give up the other. Let's try to, you know, put it to get this to the finish line and get those 3 points. And I feel like I said, I've seen this before where with PSG, people are asking or clamoring at Thiago Silva for not being able to be that captain that. I know you saw it in a few years ago when PSG lost 6-1 in that second leg, and people were criticizing Thiago Silva for not being able to gather the team and you know, and I'm thinking about that, like, where was Nico Sanchez to try to calm everybody's nerves and try to get everybody together? Like, I'm not trying to criticize him, but I am saying, like, this is where a captain should step up and try to, you know, gather the troops and tell them, hey, we gave up one, but let's bunker down, let's defend well, let's not make some mistakes here, and, you know, try to bring everybody up to say, yeah, you know, everybody's down right now, but like try to get everybody up and say, hey, we're still winning, but yeah, like I just thought that that's where you need your captain to step in and say, we got this, let's just get this 3 points.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, there's always, you know, there's the coach and then there's the guy inside the pitch where he needs to be the guy that, you know, he's the captain of the players. So, yeah, of course. I remember when Parra got sent off, didn't Funes Mori and Nico Sanchez get a yellow card, right?
Yeah, they were arguing, yeah.
So that's one example of Nico should be, first of all, Nico should be the only one doing that whole thing. And then if you already see Funes Mori get yellow, maybe just try to get him away from there and you don't get into that same situation. But he did that. And then, you know, Nico, as you know, we love him, but it just, there's stuff about him that just makes it like, come on, man, frustrating, because you show your passion, you show what you're worth most of the time, but sometimes it's just like, man, you could have done so much better. But yeah, I do put some type of blame on him. Obviously not the most, but when a team is down, when a team is suffering, there's always one guy that needs to be that guy that helps change it around. And obviously in soccer, that's the captain.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, again, I'm not trying to bash him or anything. It's just when you're the captain, you're the coach can only do so much from the sidelines. You're the one in charge out on the pitch. You're the one that's trying to calm everybody down, especially if there's like some adversity going on. You're supposed to be the voice of, you know, just the calming voice among all 10, you know, that were out there. And just like I said, they just gave up those 2 goals in quick fashion. Like, it didn't take that long. It's not like San Luis scored early in that second half and they were going and going, and then they scored 20-30 minutes apart, and it was like, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was like less than 10 minutes, and then that's even too much time. I think it was like less than 5 minutes that San Luis was able to score two goals. And
yeah,
like I said, that's where your captain is supposed to come in and just try to regroup everyone, and not let that 2-1 turn into 2-2, which ultimately what was the ending result. But yeah, anything else that you want to add on that before I put some final touches on this draw against San Luis?
No, I think just continued frustrations from the fans, from the team, from everybody involved, and hopefully, I mean, we got some bit of hope yet for this semester. Obviously, Copa MX is not the biggest thing ever, but you know, sometimes it helps too.
That we need something. We need something right now to like cheer, because right now it's, through 9 weeks, it just hasn't gone our way. No wins. 9 weeks without a win. That could take a toll on a fan base.
Sure.
But now they'll try to do something, go on the road, maybe get a win against the Chivalácticos, who won their Clásico Tapatío. And yeah, what are you expecting from this matchup on Saturday? And because I think it's going to be, Chivas can be Jekyll and Hyde. They can be good 1 week, then they can they can be, you know, what the hell happened there in another week. But they're usually good at home for the most part. But just, yeah, what's your expectation going into this matchup?
My expectation is for Rayos to lose. They haven't shown that anything different. So, yeah. And Chivas might grow itself the confidence level after that big win against Atlas. I saw a game, and they just looked like they were inspired. So, I mean, I'm not going into it in a positive way. If I'm obviously going to try to see a match, I always try to see every single match. But if I'm seeing it, it's just I'm going to see that from a different perspective. I just want to see some minutes, some players, and pretty much it.
I kind of want to, you know, see them beat Chivas, but I mean, at this point, I don't even know what to say. It's for me, it's kind of hard to picture a win. I would like to see them win. Again, my fandom in me says they can win on the road.
Yeah.
I think because at this point you just want statement wins, but it would be nice to beat, you know, clubs like Chivas. Obviously, Tigres are still on the schedule. So try to add some misery to someone else if you can go ahead and beat them. Because at this point, Liguilla's not happening. So at this point, you just try to, if you can pile on misery to someone else or make their life difficult, you go ahead and do that. You take, you know, some type of salvage or sal. You take some type of happiness in knowing that someone else is miserable along with you. But we'll see. Like I said, Chivas played pretty good at home. So we'll see what happens there. I'd be really, really impressed if they can come out with a win. But I, at the most, maybe a draw. But if you're asking just the soccer fan in me, I think Chivas should win. So we'll see. But who knows? Maybe Monterrey can break this winless streak against the Chivalácticos. We'll see what happens there. Like I said, no Funes Mori. Maybe they'll go with Jansen and Loba, or they'll just go with one striker at the top. But I think that wraps up the recaps for this week. Two last topics that I want to talk about. I know Rompas has questions and he can answer all those, but I know there is some type of talk, maybe Mohamed leaves. Who knows there? But at this point, Pat, what do you think it's going to take for this team to just write off this season or write off this tournament and then start anew for the fall? What do you think is going to happen?
What do you think is going to happen in the fall?
Or what do you want to happen, I should say? Like, what do you, what in your opinion, for this team to not have, you know, not this, for this not to not become a trend that, okay, well, this is just a one-off, it happens. What do you think you want to see happen for this team? Just because, you know, obviously there's going to be Leagues Cup, you're going to have the Apertura, and then you got to start preparing for Champions League competition in 2021. But in this, heading into the summer, I think we only have a couple more weeks, not, you know, less than 8 weeks or whatever left in the season. So we got to start preparing for what's going to happen this summer. And we can do a whole podcast later on as we get closer to the end of the season on what, on just recapping this season and then predicting what's gonna happen in the future. But as the losses pile on and fans' voice get very angry, do you think, and I know I saw management say that they're gonna hold on to him. That I think I saw Dulio Damino say that Tony's doing, you know, he's not going anywhere, he's doing a good job, whatever. And then I think in the press conference after that tie, Mohamed said that, yeah, he feels like he's in risk of losing his job, or, you know, quotes in that direction. Do you think anything happens as the losses pile on and as fans' voice get more frustrated and angry?
I don't know. I would have thought they would have already taken that decision. It's just weird for me that they've still maintained, like, how is he doing a good job if the team is in the situation that it is? I just don't see it at all. So it's just weird for me.
Yeah, because it was sorry to cut you off, Pat, but it was on the, I think, was it a what, Thursday, or the, yeah, it was a Thursday after the Los Juarez. Everybody, like, the directiva was on the, you know, at there for practice. Like, there was meetings held, like, all this stuff where we know we're doing wrong, or, you know, we know we're playing wrong, bad. We want to get, we're trying to turn this around, and obviously against San Luis it didn't end up happening. But yeah, it's just, at this point, I don't know how is it for you, Pat, but I just get tired of just hearing the same old cliches, and then having player meetings, having the you know, management down for practice, having them talk. It's just, at this point, it's just, nothing's going to get turned around, and it's just a lot of hot air that's being spoken.
Yeah. Okay, you can say it all you want. I'm sure that they're working hard, but after a while, if there's no results coming in, then, I mean, come on. Nobody, I mean, at the end of the day, that's their job. That's how it gets valued. And you need to show them, not just talk about them.
Yeah. We'll probably recap this tournament. Just have one podcast or one long podcast episode. I know people are starting to get angry with Mohamed and everybody involved, but we'll try to leave that for one sole podcast episode, because that deserves its own. But I just wanted to bring it up just because that's something that I saw on Twitter, and we'll see what happens there. I think he'll, like I said, I think we said it last week, he'll probably stay for the remainder of the season. But it kind of, or this is what I wanted to bring up, just last, or, you know, one of the last things, but it kind of, this is where you don't go back on your gut feeling, because I think they had a good feeling that this, that he was only good for those couple of months that they brought him in, and then obviously a league title, you change your mind and you offer him an extension until, I think, 2021. But do you think hindsight's 2020, but do you think the directiva regrets offering him that contract extension after initially just hiring him for the remainder of the Apertura?
Maybe. I think they kind of rushed it.
Yeah.
You know, I've said this also with Ernesto Valverde in Barcelona. They rushed it. They gave him an extension in this in the middle of the season, and the fans were not happy, and then Anfield happened, and of course, why like we just wait until the season is done, and then you know make a decision and see how the last season went and how and what and how he can improve for the future. But I don't get it, that doing that, you know, before a season even ends.
Yeah,
I just don't get it.
Yeah, but usually when you go against your gut or when you second guess your initial reaction, which I'm pretty sure they were like, well, let's just go with the remainder of the Apertura and then we'll see. Yeah, usually that doesn't work out for you. It's just, yeah, especially giving him till 2021, that's a lot of time without having a large sample size to see how this team reacts under him for one full tournament. But like I said, we'll talk about all this in one podcast episode towards the end of the season. One last thing, Pat, before we call it a night. I've been following Vincent Janssen for like the last couple of months. And recently, like over the last couple of weeks, I've seen him liking a lot of Drake posts on Instagram. And it kind of just gave me this, just to end this podcast like on not such of a Debbie Downer, because it's been a pretty downer podcast. You know, the last couple of weeks, it's just been down. So I thought I'd ask you, I know it's going to be on the spot and you're going to have to go through the, you know, Drake's discography through your head, through your head. But just because Janssen's liking a lot of posts and all that stuff, what song would you use, or which Drake song would you use to like sum up this season for you? Like, or this tournament for you, like what song would you play to say, you know what? Yeah, this is the one that sums up Monterrey's Clausura tournament.
That's a good question, man. You know, I don't know why the first thing that came to my mind when you asked that is a song by Drake called Can't Have Everything.
Yeah, I was kind of considering that one. I was like, yeah, because I know before the tournaments, people were, or you know, before the tournament started, people were like, "Let's go for the bicampeón. We can do this. We have the squad to do it." And I was one of them, because obviously this team has a lot of talent and it's one of the more expensive ones. So you know, it kind of made me think, yeah. But now that 9 weeks have gone by, you just can't have everything. Now the Copa MX is slipping away, and yeah, I was gonna go with that one.
Okay.
I ended up going, I know I'm cheating a little bit, but I'm going with the Live from the Gutter with Future. Just because right now we're in the gutter. we're in the gutter. We're at the bottom. And yeah, it's right now things are getting ugly for everyone. But
one that that could also be is Money in the Grave.
Yeah.
All these money, but it's, just
yes. Oh yeah, but yeah, I thought that would be a nice way to end the podcast, just because
for sure.
it would be nice to end it on a happy note. But anything else you want to add, Pat, before we go?
No. I'm not that excited for that Copa match, because I really do not think that they will turn it around. Obviously, when it starts, I'll be there and I'll be I want the rumors to start coming in. That always gets me excited. So
I'm just excited to see just the growth, I guess, not the growth, but like Matias Canavita, like the guy. It's nice having a signing that can off the bat be playing well. Like, I know we didn't talk about it a lot, and I'm trying to rush this conversation because it just came to my mind. But Granavita played really good against San Luis. He looks like, you know, they have something really, really good in him, and something potentially special, especially if he continues to find this momentum. Obviously, his position isn't sexy. It's not going to score any goals, but the guy, you know, disrupts passing lanes. Takes the ball away from the opposition. He's what you want in a number five. So I'm just eager to see him continue this good form that he has now, that he's playing consistently. and we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, we'll see what happens against Juarez. We'll be here next week too to break that down, whether they advance, they do a remontada and go to the final, or it's just another blow to, you know, to the stomach for every supporter. And then obviously against Chivas, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, Pat, anything you want to plug in before we go?
No. Also that, I'm going to focus on individual performances and you know, try to get excited with some of them. And not much apart from that.
That's all we have left. That's all we can. Just try to focus on individuals, because I know I've seen a lot of people tweet out who they want to stay and who they, you know, want to leave. But like I said, we'll leave that for a later podcast. And I know Rompas was asked a lot of those, so for his segment, he'll take care of that. But we'll do a podcast later on in the towards the end of the season, and we'll put this all together in one podcast episode. So, but yeah, for Pat, I'm Eddie. Follow the podcast at Rayados90. I try to give out as much as I can, but lately this team hasn't, you know, it felt good making multiple gifts for a match, so hopefully that continues. But yeah, follow the account, and we'll speak to you guys next week.
Well guys, welcome to another segment of By Rompas here in the Rayados 90 podcast. It's a pleasure to be with you all again, and well, given that the last time that we did this, I asked in Twitter, I simply told people to ask me questions about Rayados, and there was a good amount of responses, so I did it again this week, and we're gonna answer all the questions that you guys have about Rayados' situation in La Liga and in La Copa MX. And but first I wanted to basically do a little recap of what happened Saturday afternoon against San Luis, when the it seemed to be a game that we had under control, even though Parra saw the red card at the minute 17, I think. A red card that, for me, this is just my opinion, it wasn't a foul that deserved to be qualified with a red card. At that extent that even the referee didn't even showed the yellow card at the beginning, but then the VAR came into play, and when you show the replay, well, apparently every foul that it's above the ankle, it's gonna be sanctioned with a red card. So that was pretty much what happened. I don't agree. I don't think that was, particularly this one, wasn't a red card, because Parra wasn't even looking at the San Luis player. But well, even with that handicap, Rayados managed to found a goal via Akeloba on a great counter attack, a pass from Funes Mori. He did a great definition, and then that was the first half. And then on the second half, in a corner kick, as we haven't seen much of those goals in this tournament, at least for Rayados, Montes won in the air with a header, and then Gallardo just pushed it in. And so we were happy, we were confident with the 2-0 advantage that we were gonna finally win this tournament, and my god, it's hard not to laugh at that fact. But then I think that Turco again, it was too late for when he wanted to do substitutions. I think that the first substitution that he did, taking out Akeloba, who was playing really good, not excelling, but at least better than Funes Mori. He took out Akelova and he threw in Celso Ortiz, which was good as an idea, but I think that the substitution should have been Funes Mori, not Akelova, and maybe throw in Pavona a bit earlier, try to get one more goal. It would have make a difference, because San Luis was all for the attack and they were leaving huge gaps in the midfield. So with Graneviter playing the way he was with the long passes, we could have done something else with two players that are fast enough, right? So then it happened, the first goal for San Luis, and I think that it was like 3 minutes before that, I mean after that, that San Luis found the second goal. And again, there's a few players to point out in this particular game. I think that Layun was doing a great job. He even hit the post with a free kick. I think that the Layun was playing really good. I think that Akelova was playing good enough. Chad Rodriguez, again, he's starting to find his actual level. And Medina is on another level, as usual. But aside of them, I didn't like Nico Sanchez. I didn't like Montes so much. I didn't like Parra, even though he was there for only 17 minutes. Barovero was okay. It was the place that he had to, he had something to do with. He actually solved them correctly, and I think that in the goals he wasn't able to do much, because we all know that Barovero is not the kind of goalkeeper that is gonna go out of the area chica to find a ball. So the second goal was well. Then a lot of people, including myself, were angry because the way that happened. Then on the 87th minute, Mohamed finally does two substitution, bringing in Pavon and Alvarado. And I remember, I think that the play for me that did it, like that, made me angrier than what I was we had a free kick. I think it was minute 92nd, 93rd minute on the right field, and Pavon was in charge of that, and he wasn't able to get it, not even, I'm not gonna say that a good cross, but it wasn't even close to any Rayados player. He came out too short, the cross. So that was like the last straw. I mean, I really think that everybody even got madder at that particular time because of what I'm saying. So well, it's just a little bit of a recap. So let's go to the questions. First, at Pablo_MH_. What do you think is the main problem in this tournament? Well, first, it has to be the level which the players are playing in. I don't think it's the same. I'm not sure if it is a lack of preparation of some sort, but it shows. Not one player aside of Medina and maybe Celso Ortiz are playing on the same level that we saw last couple of months of 2019. Everybody else is back where they were with Diego Alonso. So the main issue here has to be the level of performance within the players. And of course, the decision making by El Turco, it's a lot. You are able to improve that a lot, because that's a huge area of opportunity. At S senior mosh underscore in is Nico Sanchez magic over, because out of at least two or three results have been because of plays where he hasn't been able to comply. Well, I think that Nico Sanchez has always been in that level. The only difference is that now he's not scoring goals, but he's not the defensive player of the year. He's not gonna be close because of his defensive skills. What he lacks in technique, he overcomes with courage in goals. But I think that when a player like that that doesn't do his job, which is to defend, and the plus that he gives you is to score goals, and he's not doing that, I think that that's a reason enough to bench him. Another thing that I think that Nico is not doing, he is almost the, we call him El Capitán Sin Gafet, because he should be the captain, right, according to a lot of us. But he's not taking that responsibility. You don't see him with the press after the game or during the week saying that this is why we are playing like this. This is what we're gonna do. You don't see taking that responsibility, which he should. But it is what it is. I think that Nico scoring the penalty kicks and then having this streak with a lot of headers put him in a place where we try to see him as this huge defender, but he's not. He's a regular defender with an outstanding goal average, which is completely different. At Cano Araiz, how much credit Mohamed has to go on? Is Rayados gonna give him his project any credit to go forward? I think that this upcoming game on Wednesday is gonna do a lot. Whether we lose and then he should resign, this is something that not only me is thinking, a lot of us are thinking. If he fails against Juarez this Wednesday in La Copa, not because La Copa MX is important or not, because it's a consequence of having 3 points or 4 points in La Liga out of 24, I think, that we have played. I think there's we have played 8 games and only have like 4 points, so it's a really poor percentage. So if you lose against Juarez, and or not even lose, but maybe let's say that you draw 0-0, and that would mean that he had an awful game. So I think that, I really think that Monterrey is gonna advance, but if that happens, then Mohamed is not gonna go, that at least not this tournament. But he has a lot of credit because he won the title on December, and he had a great performance on the World Cup, but that's not gonna last much if you continue down this path. At Aurelio FM, if there was no limit, keep it reasonable. What would be the best coach to bring to Rayados? I think that the name that pops in everybody's head when you say a coach is, it has to be Marcelo Gallardo from River Plate. But I think that's a long shot, and I don't think that's gonna happen soon, because I think that his salary and his team salary, it's something that you don't see in America, all throughout America. It's Europe level, and I think that what he has done with River Plate earned him that chance to go to a team in Europe and try there. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that would be a possibility, but that's the guy that we all want. I do think that bombazo sort of pick, alongside with another clutch player or something that you can bring in the summer, you also need that type of investment within the coaching position, right? I don't want to see the usual coaches like Caixinha and I don't know, El Profe Cruz or some guys like that. I want to see Rayos try to bring somebody from the outside. If it is from Europe, it would be awesome. Somebody that you can say, here you go, this is the team, you're in charge of everything, starting with the little kids up all the way up to the first division team. You can make all the decisions that you want, you can do all the changes that you want. This is a project for 5 years, and no matter the results, the immediate results, you're able to fulfill that contract, right? So that would be a way to approach that vacancy if Mohamed goes. At David Flores, do you think if it isn't because Maxi and Bangioni are out, the results would be different? I don't think so, because Maxi was playing really good. He was getting to a great level, and right now in that position in the midfield is where we're lacking creativity. So I well, maybe not that we would have won all the games, but at least it would be different, and it's gonna show this weekend when Maxi is ready. I think that he's even gonna play against Juarez, so it is gonna be a difference. When it comes to Bangioni, I don't see it, because Parra wasn't doing an awful job. He was not doing what Bangioni does, but he wasn't so far, and it's not that. So I don't think that it would be a lot different. @_Aram_Urbina, how much does the guy who was in charge of the physique training, the Brazilian guy, how much it affected that he went away? It's kind of showing that it is something that it is affecting, because at the second half, if you notice the last 15-20 minutes of each game, you see that Real's players are like really tired, and that could be a reason why. I'm not sure if he was in charge of everything, but at least what he was in charge is kind of showing that he's missing right now. It's hard to say. At Suarez L09, who's the main responsible for this last results, the bad results? Is it Mohamed or the players? If Mohamed loses on Wednesday, he has to go. Yes, if he loses on Wednesday, he has to go. That's not even a question. But maybe he is not going. So, but the main reason is a combination. I spoke about this last podcast. It's a combination of bad decisions from the coach and bad performance from each player. At S. Hernandez, What do we need? Or no. Up until what point do you think that management is gonna hold on to Mohamed, given the situation of the team and doing a whole doing a complete change, makeover of everything. I think that the management earned a lot of stripes with the performance on the World Cup and the last title. So management, I don't think is gonna change. But if Mohamed doesn't rise up to the occasion, they're gonna fire him, and we're gonna see a few changes. When it comes to the team, I'm sure that in the summer we're gonna see a lot of changes. Was the championship in December just luck, or is it the reality of the team? And this is the reality of the team. Aguilar at Aguilar 11. Well, it doesn't say luck. It says inertia, which is like, if the championship was because we were having this this energy, right? And that was the reason why we got driven to the championship. Yes, it was a lot of that. It was that we found the results. We found the confidence. We found the players at top level. So that was the reason why the championship. I don't think that it has a lot to do with Mohamed actually coaching. Mohamed is known more for being a good speaker, a motivator, right? So when you have the tactic already, because the team wasn't playing much different than with Alonso, and you have this guy that make you believe that you're gonna be the best. That was the reason why. This is my opinion, of course. Do you think that we have to change the central back, given that Montes, Nico, and Basanta are not top level? Well, Montes, I think that we can get Montes back. He's playing good. He can play better. But yes, Nico and Basanta definitely have to find a replacement, of course. For Basanta has to be done immediately, because he's about to retire, and Nico, you can have him 6 more months because of the history. But I would change both of them. I would find 2 great defenders, even in South America or whatever, but we would have to do that. So that's basically that. That was the Q&A. I do appreciate everybody who answered the tweet with a question. Thank you, all my rompistas, as always. Shouts out to everybody. Shouts out to Pat, to Eddie, to everybody involved on the podcast. Thank you for commenting, for leaving a rate, for doing everything that you guys do. Thank you for everything, and we will see you next week. Rompas is out.